This is Marlene with Miami Ghost Chronicles, and I want to welcome you to another episode of Stories of the Supernatural. Wherever you find us, whether it's a video or podcast on your favorite platform, please like and subscribe to us so that you can get notification of when a new show is released. You can also find us on major social media platforms. If you go to MiamiGhostChronicles.com, you can find links to the videos or MP3 files, which you can download and enjoy without commercial interruptions. If you're into classic horror, ghost, and adventure stories, I narrate Nightshade Diary, and you can find links at nightshadediary.com. If scary stories are your bag, and listening to encounters with cryptids, ghosts, dogmen, and other weird creatures sends a shiver up your spine, then go to supernaturalstorytime.com for links to our weekly podcasts. Noteworthy news about the paranormal world, true crime, conspiracy stories, and anything that is just plain weird can be found at eerie.news or visit the Stranger Than Fiction Stories tab at MiamiGhostChronicles.com. Please subscribe to my newsletter on Substack. Just go to mppelliser.com for a link. I want to thank you for being part of my audience, and I think you are all wonderful. Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good, I hope. We're here in that's North Florida. I'm going to comment on the weather because, believe it or not, weather makes the world go round, especially when you're farming and have animals and things like that. So yeah, it's hot and supposed to hot and no wind and not breezy and typical Florida weather, and as opposed to rain. And you know, how's this? When it's summer, you should think, oh man, I wish it was cool like winter. And then when you're freezing in winter, you're like, man, can't wait till summer rolls around and it gets hot again. One of those deals. Outside of that, I know a lot of people keep asking me, hey, are your chickens? My chickens are fine. Everybody's fine. My last edition, I mentioned it a few shows ago, I took in 18 guinea chicks, or what they call it. They call them keets, all right? And I took all 18 of them because they only bring them in to be bought at certain times of the year. So I went into a feed supply place, which I will not name. And I said, do you have any? No, I called. Because I couldn't find any. He said, yeah. I said, I'll be right over. I mean, I zoomed down there. And I went over. The girl asked me, how many do you want? She goes, I'll take all of them. And I, so, yeah, my adventure now is in raising the keets because I've gotten to such a size that I can't let them out yet. As you know, everybody's free range here. But they're too big, so I have to keep them like in a big dog crate outside, you know, with one of those operations, one of those deals. But yeah, if anybody knows anything about guineas, they're great. They provide like an alarm system. They're fearless, and I've had them before. They are fearless, especially when they're in a flock. And they'll eat all the vermin, all the bugs, everything. They take everything. Only problem with them is that they make horrible parents. So what you do is you take the eggs, which is what I'm planning to do, emulate a chicken, hatch them. But that's in the future. So anyway, yes. By the way, anybody that asks, believe it or not, that was my Mother's Day gift. I had my kids like, what do you want? And I was like, I said, wait a minute, you know what I want? I want keets. And they're like, what? I want keets. So that's what I had my kids get me. And they're all like, hey, sure, why not? Give me flowers and all that stuff. But anyway, let's get on to the good part. The good part is who the guest is for today. This is the first time this gentleman has been on Stories of the Supernatural. His name is James Rank, and he is a meditation practitioner, a researcher, author, and video producer. As a super soldier in a secret space program, James understands programming and trauma. He has also helped awaken humanity to the secret activities of the covert agencies, uncovering topics such as brainwashing, trauma, MILABS, which stands for military abductions, and covert harassment, all of which he has had to endure his entire life as a product of Project Surrogate and Ultra MK MILAB super soldier experimentation. His book, Lone Wolf, chronicles these projects. He's an Eagle Scout, has a BS degree in business administration and finance, and an associate degree in horticulture technology. Gotta ask him about my plants. And help me welcome him. How are you doing today, James?
There we go. I'm doing good. I'm doing great. Thank you for that. Yeah, so one of my goals in the future, maybe if I ever got some money, is I would buy a ranch in Florida, and it would have a live oak alley, and it would have a private lake and a rare bird aviary with peacocks in there, an infinity edge pool, overlooking the lake, and also a subtropical garden. Of course, it's
man, you've really detailed that.
Yeah, as you're describing these birds, I'm like, oh man, I want.
Yeah, I've got exotic bird. Well, my husband is he's into the exotic birds, and I have parrots and everything. And the good thing that this is one of the reasons why I moved out here, because some of these birds, they're loud. You know, you can't move into the suburbs or someplace because your neighbors will run you out in a rail. But when you live out here, nobody cares because, hey, everybody lives on acreage. So that's one of the reasons why we moved out where we did.
Okay.
And yeah, I've got some big live oaks out here. I've got about a couple that are about 400 or 500 years old. And nice. Yeah, but the infinity pool thing, nah. You know, like I grew up in South Florida and you get a lot of the thing of the pools and nah.
But yeah, so you're like into the watering holes with a
down here, they have a lot of those springs and stuff like that. People go tubing in them.
Is that the water's really cold actually, but it's nice in the summer, I guess.
Oh yeah, in the summer you have to wait. No, in the winter, but come July and August, it's great. They're fantastic. And they're really it's different like from the beach thing, but it's fantastic. Yeah, there's a lot of things to do out here. There's a lot of those parks in this area. And but yeah. It's really nice. It's serene. The town where I live in has only got 5,000 occupants population last time I checked. And the closest fast food restaurant is about 12 miles away. So nice. There's no McD, no BK, nothing. I've got a pizza place, a mom and pop pizza place that's right next to a gas station in the corner way over there. So, you know, to a lot of people, it's like, what? And it's like, no. Believe me, it's good.
So that's
good.
That's what you call the deep south, and it comes
south.
To it. Yeah, it ends around Orlando, and then it goes into more a Latin Cuban influence.
It does. It just becomes more populated. That's what happens.
All right.
And up here, it's still believe it or not, this is up here. You know, all the people up here they were known as the Crackers. That's where it comes from. That word, the Crackers, Florida Crackers.
okay.
You know what it was, and because I researched this back. Back in the 1800s, they would crack the whips to drive cattle. Cattle was a big thing, or still a big thing out here in Florida. This is called scrub cattle. And that's where that cattle thing, that cracker thing comes from, because they would crack the whips to drive the cattle.
Oh, I thought you were going to say slaves, but yeah.
No. Believe it or not, cattle was a big deal out here.
Oh, okay.
In Florida, everybody thinks out west, you know, is where they have. By the way, you mentioned something. I just read an article today that I thought was really interesting. That they're saying that all these billionaires are buying out all these cattle ranches. Everybody's like on, you know, that Yellowstone kick, you know, that program. So all these what they call them cowboy billionaires are buying like these 3,000 acre ranches out there, you know, and it's like You know, and of course, it's like, that's like a big thing going on out there in Montana and all those states out there.
Wow. Like, okay. Yeah.
You know.
So, all right.
Yeah, but they got helicopters to get around in, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
But anyway, let me ask you. This is such an interesting bio. So I'm going to ask you, was this did this occur to you? What happened? Was this as a young man, as a child, as an adult? What happened when this changed for you?
Certainly. So, I guess based on the intro of your show, you're okay with creepy stuff.
Absolutely.
I'll try not to scare the shit out of you or the audience members, but
go right ahead.
It was a bit scary when I was experiencing this. So let's start off to the beginning. Going back to, when I was about, I think I was like 23 or 24. I was on the internet chatting with this individual. His name is Nate in my book, but actually I'll show you my book. You can see a copy of it here. So and actually he's the one that came up the word lone wolf. I'll explain that in just a bit. But at that time he was having problems in school because he's getting in trouble with fights. Somebody was hitting on his girlfriend and he hit the guy. And he went outside the window, but he almost got thrown into juvie. And so he had this enhanced strength. And I was like joking. And then he tells me he has telekinesis. He can move a bowling ball around. He told me that he could see the future. He could see my aura. So let's see here. He also told me, so this one day there's a dog howling outside his window. Okay. And he's telling me he can sense some kind of aether or something. I'm sure. But so I was just discussing with him about maybe you should go check out this website, David Icke's website, where he has this article about Andy Perot, about Project Superman, where Andy said that he had telekinesis. He could move like a pen or pencil through a wall or embed into a wall, that kind of stuff. And he's working with the Grays and these paperclip scientists. Where they were experimenting on his mind to split his mind into alters to come like a superhuman or super advanced human being. And I suggest to Nate to go check this story out, because maybe you might have been experimented on. Okay. So I was just being really innocent at the time, not realizing what I was getting myself into. And so
let me ask you something. So you obviously were already exposed to David Icke and everything. So when he's telling you this, did you take it in stride or did you go,
he was my friend. I wasn't really thinking that this was like in a serious thing. It's like, well, you're just another person you're hanging out with or spending time with. So, it didn't become more real till later on. And I'll explain what happened. So as I was explaining this thing about, checking it out, the Andy Perot content. So he told me not to, talk about this kind of stuff in front of him. And he says that he claims to be some other name. He had these other alters, what I call alters, DID, multi-personality disorder, is what I thought was initially going on with him. But I thought he was demonically possessed, because he would describe he had visitations by Lucifer, and he would have a seizure. And I would tell him, well, I had a visitation by Michael, Archangel Michael, and he handed me a torch of blood. And so we're like comparing our experiences. Okay. I later realized that he did have DID, multi-personality disorder. And he was telling me, his alters were telling me that he was being taken to an underground facility or a military facility where he was put on a treadmill and tested. And he was tested by a Dr. Gray.
Okay.
So it wasn't really until later on I realized that the Dr. Gray was probably a gray alien.
I understand now.
Nate told me that they're deleting all his memories the next time I contact him, and he's in a white room in a white place, and soon he won't remember me anymore. So because I suggested to use his abilities to defend himself, and I guess he did. So let's fast forward, maybe another 2 or 3 weeks go by again. He tells me that he just activated my DNA, and that did some other things. Yes, supposedly I would get some growth. Well, I got some growth. I don't know about that. But it's actually in my book. What I can say is that there was somebody following me around the mall earlier that day taking my picture, and I was trying to get away from this individual, and they were matching my speed. So imagine going to the mall, somebody following you around, and you're back basically speed walking, almost running, and they're following you too.
So let me ask you something at the beginning. Because, you know, nobody wants to be like paranoid. At the beginning, were you thinking, is that person following me or is it just my imagination?
He came right up to me. I was going down the escalator. He came in the escalator. He came right next to me. He says, I turn around and says hello. And he says, what's up or something. I don't. Adult male, probably 6'1" or something. Well,
what does he say to you? Why?
Civilian clothing, shorts and some kind of Jesse shirt. Vaguely remember that. What was your question, Marlene?
Okay, well, let me ask you something. When this person, when they come up to you, I remember, like, usually in the malls, most people think, like, sometimes, you know, and I understand what you're saying, like, man, when you see somebody's like, man, this, every time I turn around, this person is somewhere behind me. And you kind of sometimes do like a checklist. It's like, is it me? Is it my imagination? Or is it this, not this person just happens?
Well, Marlene, I was speeding up, and the mall has multiple wings. It's a large
wing.
So it was from one department store all the way to the opposite end. I was trying to get away and he was keep following me. So he goes down the escalator and I go and try to hide in some part of the store, and he's following me right. And he's taking my pitch. I think he's taking my picture. So remember, this was almost 20 years ago. So
okay.
But I'm trying to explain. I remember.
Let me ask something. What kind of vibe did you get from this person?
Like he probably worked for maybe the secret space program or something, like one of them. And so I told Nathan that somebody was following me around. He says, I'll take care of it for you. So nobody ever, never happened again after that. But so let's see here. Let's go forward.
So let me ask you something. When you see this guy, it's almost, did you want to know, or were you afraid to, like, if I engage this person in conversation?
I didn't want to engage the guy. I just wanted to be left alone.
It's like, yeah, okay. Okay, I got it. Believe me, I got it. It's like, yeah, whatever it is, I just want to get away from this guy.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So at this point, let's just move forward again here. I'm trying to memorize everything, how it happens in order. But so at this point, Nate reaches out to me again. He tells me that he destroyed 3,200 worlds or planets. He said he destroyed the Gray's monetary system. He destroyed bases and facilities, everyone that was involved in this. And he said it won't be bothering me again. And he told me that I was one of the Supremes, one of the most powerful beings in the universe. And he just referred to me as you are. So I can explain that in just a bit. But he told me that he was Lucifer, and that in our past lives we would fight each other, and that's what created the canyons here on this planet. Ultimately, we would both die. We'd have a mortal, I guess you call it mortal combat, more to the death, and get reborn. So I told him, well, I don't remember any of that, but if that's the case, why don't we change things so that we don't have to do that anymore? And he didn't say no to it, so I guess I guess we didn't end up doing that. But let's see here. And that's when like weird things started to happen. Like I would wake up. Oh, this is right after he supposedly activated my DNA, whatever that means.
Okay.
So the morning, the late night, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear papers moving around in the kitchen. Okay, downstairs, and nobody's up. It's pitch black, dark, and so I'm like, okay, there's something down there. I'm gonna just ignore it and hopefully it goes away. And I had to close the door to because it was it wasn't like February, I think it was like February when this is happening, and so it was cold. And when I got down and I looked in the kitchen, there was a blue orb moving around, and it just turned off when I stood in the doorway. I can only guess there's probably some kind of aliens there. It was so dark, I didn't even want to turn the light on. If I could go back in time, I don't know if I would even have the courage to turn the light on. I just slammed the door. I was like, what the fuck?
Right, like, yeah,
I'm going to sleep. And I slept in a sleeping bag, and I woke up, and there was, in the morning, I had 3 claw marks going down my shoulder. And then I had, I think I had a scoop mark or needle mark. And then I started getting these marks every day, needle marks and scoop marks on my ear. I had a scoop mark on my pinky. It was actually, the flesh was a chunk was taken out underneath my fingernail. And there was a black rod loading little cylinder object in there. And I've had, so I started getting this. And then, anyway. So that's going on, and I can't explain it. Nate's no longer, he did message me one more time. He told me he's holding a power cord connected into the outlet, and he's telecommunicating through the power cord into the internet to communicate with me that way. So so he said that he's bleeding and he's dying. This is the last I'll hear from him, and that's basically it. Anyway,
that was it, and like you never heard from him again after that, or what happened?
Not exactly. But let me just explain something. So after, right after that happened, I'm getting these needle marks and injections, and I'm getting scoop marks, and I was like in the car with my dad one time, and I just touch my ear, it starts itching, and I touch it, and there's like flakes of blood coming off, and I look in the mirror, and there's a chunk of flesh. I mean, they took me right out of the car with my dad. And my dad's like, my family is not receptive to this stuff. And then I see needle marks on him too. And I don't tell him. I guess I just let it be. So whoever's taking me is taking my family and doing things. But
so let me ask you something. Prior to this thing of your friend, not you or any of your family had any type of experience like that.
My mom said that her brother, they slept in a bunk bed when they were kids. Her brother would see. Right. See the Grays with the big eyes, but she says she doesn't remember it, but she has dreams of them taking me away as a kid. She told me she always had these dreams.
Okay.
and And actually, there might be some truth to that because I learned some things. But okay, that's so I'm getting these needle marks and I'm getting this problem. I have this paralysis where I can't move. Mm-hmm. And I'm like dragging myself over to the phone and I call poison control and say, well, maybe somebody's coming in my apartment injecting me. And they took me down to the hospital and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me because they didn't find anything in my blood or urine or whatnot. And then so they put me under watch. They kept me there for 3 weeks and they charged me $25,000. And then, this is 2005. So that was even more back then. So I get out and they basically diagnosed me as psychosis NOS, which basically states that they couldn't figure out what's wrong with me, but they wanted to collect money from the insurance companies. So
let me ask you something though. Did they test, I take it, for any chemicals?
I gave them a sample. I was drinking some water and I got
that. No, but I'm saying, stuff will show up in your bloodstream or your urine or even.
Well, they said there was nothing there. They said high potassium. That was the only thing they could find.
Okay, well, okay, whoopie doo, potassium. So, but I'm saying nothing weird that they could say, hey, you've got,
right.
I don't know how you got it.
Well, they even gave me an MRI and they wouldn't show me what was on that MRI. So I had to get a different doctor and the doctor showed me something, but I don't even know if that was even me.
They did a month an later MRI. Or something. So basically after 3 weeks, like you said, that they got their money, they discharged you and said, hey, you're okay.
Well, I told them that I was feeling better and the medications, I had to take the medications because they told me if you didn't do it, you would get injected with it. So I took it and, I think I was still getting marks even inside the psych ward. And then they took me.
You beat me to my next question. I said, what happened when you were in there 3 weeks?
It was really weird. Like the first night. Okay. So, I can't, they're taking me on the ambulance. I can't even move. I'm like frozen. And then I'm like, I can start getting some of my movement back. And then my parents come and they get some food from the hospital and hand it to me. And I start eating this food. And then the paralysis starts happening. And I'm like, well, what the hell is going on here? So at that point, I just didn't. Yeah, it wasn't. But ultimately, so like the first night I was there, it was really weird. I wanted to brush my teeth. I don't think I was using that fluoridated toothpaste or something. And so I had my own toothpaste and they took it away from me because it's like, and the nurse was like looking at me while I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, why are you doing that? She's like, well, you're on suicide watch. Well, wait a minute. I never wanted to say I'm like that. I'm getting...
So in other words, I just started laughing at her.
I felt, oh my God. Anyway, so once you're in that state of capacity, you're like a ward of the state. They don't treat you the same way.
Yes,
So I'm just glad.
So here you go. You go 3 weeks. But bottom line, you know, they give you a diagnosis because I imagine after spending 3 weeks, they got to diagnose you with something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, like I said, $1,000 a day there.
Right. Yeah. So they got to show something to, you know, to say, we kept them 3 weeks for this.
Well, the doctor did tell the nurse that he's psychosomatic. They were giving me some pills and I was getting the freaking paralysis again. So ultimately, by the way, I think what was happening then is my own altar was starting to come out. So I was being triggered. But anyway, to the point is I get released. I attempt to go back to another because they said like, part of me getting released is I had to keep going under treatments. So I went to another doctor. I tried to find someone that can do hypnosis because I wanted to figure out what's causing these marks.
All right.
So I find someone on the insurance plan that can do it. And I get in there. I tell the doctor why I'm there. And he's like, well, nobody has hypnosis anymore. We don't do that anymore is what they told me. So then he wanted to know what happened to me. And I'm telling about the marks and what happened, you know, in the hospital. And he said that I have to take this medication and I have to come back. So he was not receptive to me. What I did is I took the medication, I threw it in the trash can, and then I canceled the next appointment and told him I'm getting a second opinion. Okay. But so at that point I realized there's nobody in the medical community or nobody in the government, law enforcement. These people do not care about people that go through experiences like me. Okay. I have to if I want to get better, I decided that I guess I'm going to have to do it on my own, because back in this period of time, YouTube was new. There was like no like support groups, you know, I don't think even it was a Skype back then. It was a Yahoo Messenger and stuff, but.
Right, right.
Anyway, all right. Exactly. So I'm out. And at this point, I guess I have to get a job to start paying this thing back. And I pay what I can. Eventually I did default on that, which they kind of deserved for what happened to me. But and then my family doesn't want to hear anything about my needle marks and injections and the blood that I'm, you know, waking up with like needle marks down my spine, and there's blood stains on my shirt. Okay. In the morning, I've got blood stains on my clothes. And so anyway,
it sounds like you were kind of on your own is what you're saying.
Exactly. So ultimately what happened is, I just kind of let things be. Eventually I did locate Nathan again. 2 years later, he was posting poems about killing women on a poetry website. So I reached out to Nate. I told him, "Hey Nate, why are you posting poems about killing women? What's wrong with you?" And so, his girlfriend messaged me, and the girlfriend told me that Nathan doesn't know who you are. So I sent the girlfriend about 200 pages of transcripts that from our conversations we had together. And then the girlfriend wrote me back in and said, Nate made it all up. And so I said, okay, tell Nate to send me an email that he made it all up and I'll move on. And Nathan wrote me, but he said something in the lines of, there's no evidence in any government logs of UFOs or aliens or brainwashing ever existing. The information you've archived has private information and we're watching you. And he signed it as this gray person again. So
let me ask you something. So what, basically at this point, he's just denying at all the conversations he told you or anything.
Yeah. And he's denying it everything. Like there's no alien, no brainwashing. So, and then he signs it this gray person. So I wrote him back and I even wrote the girlfriend back. So why is he signing some other person? Who is this other person? Why is he, can you get him to just tell me in it as Nate to tell me that he made it all up and he never did. So I guess he didn't make it up, and it's all real. All this, I'm trying to tell you, this stuff really happened. So,
in other words, he because I was thinking he was going to help you out, you know, but it sounds like no, he didn't throw you a line, huh?
So, the girlfriend told me he's set up a cult of other kids, telekinetic kids, just like himself, and they're going to start the New World Order, and that they're one of the chosen ones, and that, so let's see what else he said. Oh, she would wake up at night and he would not be in the bed and he was missing, and that there's glass shards in her back. She found bottles of embryo with his name on it in the basement. So I think she was actually on a Draco ship, because later moving on here, that's when I because I wasn't getting any help from my church. I just stopped going to church because it's pointless. The church groups do not help people that go through stuff like this. So I stopped going to church. And so I had to start working with people like mediums and psychics to try to figure out a remote viewing, and then even my own regression work. And that's when I started putting this together, when I went into this chat room of like a professional remote viewers. Uh-huh. And this guy, he supposedly was a remote viewer for the government. I showed him some of these needle marks and he's like, James, that's actually the government doing that to you. So that's what we call the My Lab phenomenon. And Middle Labs, which is a short for military abductions, stand for what happens when an ET would abduct a human. The military would send people in to abduct the same contactee to try to learn what the ET knew. So I was being subjected to this, even though I don't have the memories of what they were doing to me. I had the final result.
Let me ask you, it sounds like you finally found somebody who's going to try to like point you in the right direction then.
Right. So at this point in time, I contacted this Sani Sito. She, if you don't know who she is, she was, she says that she was on the Roswell crash accident where she was the pilot or the vessel. And she was told to not come to the planet Earth, to leave. Mm-hmm. And she ignored her orders. And the next thing you know, the vessel crashes and she dies. And then she, because she didn't follow directions, forced her into a human body. So she was subjected to like a bunch of experiments, the early mind control. So they, the Mill Lab groups and all that really abused the crap out of her. And but she is connected with the gray, what you call the gray overmind or souls or consciousness. And so I was asking her why the gray is doing this to me so much. And she told me it wasn't the grays, it was the reptilians. Nathan was part of his Draco mind control programs. And she mentioned something about me being a reptilian and supposedly I shapeshift on the craft, but that's not the only thing. I can turn into a bunch of things because I have this the DNA to shapeshift, and later on I talk about more about that in the book. But
so let me ask you, it sounds like you guys are on the same wavelength. In other words, that you're speaking the same language as far as experiences then?
Sonny has a lot of, you know, I would love to interview her, but she's very autistic and she's shy about that. But but she's an amazing person. And anyway, so for that, she ultimately, so we're back moving into, I think around 2008. That's when I do my first video, and it was so bad. I took it down, but then I started doing my first, I put together Super Soldier Talk YouTube channel to help people like us that were having these experiences and didn't have answers. So I wanted to put a forum together we can learn. And that's when 2010 is when I made my first interview. So my YouTube channel is Super Soldier Talk, but I had to purge about 3 years of content because of censorship, but the full archive is over on Rumble. Okay, so let's see here. I guess we can continue on with this.
So let me ask you, then, once you started doing interviews, did this open the door for contacting other people with similar experiences? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I was trying to even find people who might even know what go on with me. Ultimately, I did. I did find someone. And his name was Adam. So I talk about the experiences I had with Adam in the book. He's very shy and he wants to just kind of have a normal life. So he's not really gone public, but, Adam, let's see here. Adam's friend reached out to me and told me that he, looks a lot like you. And, so I have a picture of us side by side and so Adam contacts me the first day we talk. He says there's some kind of limo following him around and some people are like outside his door, like Men in Black type creep people. So I'm trying to explain to him, you know, what's going on. And then he starts channeling this reptilian. His name is Tien. So Tien told me that I was part of the Alpha Squad. Actually, we both were, that Adam was my brother and that we served together for Alpha. And that he was a 14-foot-tall reptilian that worked on the super soldiers because he's telling me that humans are too stupid to make a super soldier, so they need to bring in these reptilians who are really good at geneticists. So he would work on my body there, and I would have all these avatar bodies, which they were called Cybus and Arbus. And these avatar bodies would be used for various missions. And so I discussed some of those missions in the book. But
so let me ask you something. Basically, that's how... In other words, it's your consciousness, but they use avatars as far as like for body.
That's one of the ways. It's not the only way. So I believe I was also in these programs because I remember as a child sticking my hand into a table and pulling out a toy out of a wooden table, pull out a wooden toy. Oh, it was a little bird too. I just remembered that. It was this little bird. And I remembered I was so proud of that thing. Because they were torturing the shit out of us. Because this is all part of the montage. My records show I was in an SSP for 330 years. I spent 40 years at Montauk. I don't know how many years I spent at Kruger, and then the Alpha aspect, all that. So, but I was at Monarch. I was at Umbrella, and I served. Okay. And I'm getting these memories of serving, not serving, but training under. I think this is part of the Ibis aspect, where there's this white mansion and Bush Senior is there. But there were a bunch of kids there, and they were teaching us sciences that they don't normally teach. They would also train us kids. Like I was at the age of 14, I was being trained on how to use guns, and yeah. So, but there was like this mansion there where there were. I think there was a total. What I got was there was like a total of 300 children that were put through this program.
Okay.
And like maybe my class may have only had 15 people. So that's, yeah, but I don't know if there's
so let me ask you something. These are all human children with, I want to say the consciousness, the spirit, the soul, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're human because there was George Bush Sr.'s there. He's wearing a suit and a top hat. And he's also got this hardback book where he's reading to us kids about all the things we Nazis had to go through and how we're special and chosen. And he said that I was one of his favorite Montauk boys because of all my psionic abilities. And that's when I asked my dad, I was like, well, did anything weird happen to me when I was a kid? And he told me I would levitate off the bed and he would get the Bible out and pray over me to stop doing it. But I don't remember. So I know I had these abilities, but yeah, it's all what I understand is locked up in altars.
Do you have any siblings that have had similar experiences or no?
I have one sibling. She is not, my opinion, not ready. I think she has experiences, but she's not ready to deal with them.
Okay. All right. That's why I asked. Like sometimes I know some siblings get it and others don't. And sometimes they have parallel experiences. You know.
Understood. Yeah. Okay. So
here, fast forward. It looks like you're getting more into the loop of right. I mean, what you were experiencing as far as before being like a total like mystery.
Yeah. So I think that might be connected to the umbrella timeline because ultimately they turned me into a Hulk, at least one of these aspects. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Rob Richter content comes from. I talk about Rob Richter in my book, but they would transfer us to other alternate realities. So we, even though I'm still trying to understand if I believe it actually happened in this physical vessel, but they made multiple claims of me. So, and my soul is in this body. So yes, it happened to me, but did it actually happen in this physical vessel? I'm not sure of, but I do believe, these things did happen. So that's what I'm going to try to explain. So anyway, that's all I really know about the mansion there, but I was in IBIS through regression work that I've done, IBIS 89 to I think 92, but I'm not ready really. I haven't done much exploration of my IBIS memories, so I'm going to just let that be, but I do have some more information about Alpha. So the Alpha Squad is what I understand to be our group of super soldiers that work for other planetary corporations that escaped. So typically they would be a more negative planetary corporation and that were slated perhaps for extermination. And they left and they joined the Alpha Squad. And then they basically started doing freelance work, mercenary work.
Right,
and then more people joined in. Eventually Alpha Squad became the elite super soldier squad group out there. So in the here and now there's only about 100 members of Alpha, and my name in Alpha is Agent Sabretooth. So Adam's name was aka Dreadnought, and then I met another individual, this Alex Diaz. So he was aka Bloodstreak. So he would sometimes serve with us, and Bloodstreak was trained in blunt weapons, and and then Adam was trained in explosives and I was the sniper. So ultimately what happened is, so Adam moved on with his life, and Alex ended up murdering his girlfriend from when his altars got triggered because he was trained in blunt weapons. He actually stabbed her. So, I had to delete all Alex's stuff off my website, but I still have it in my book, the, sessions I did with him. So unfortunately,
let me tell you something. When you said about your other friend who he's writing poetry about killing women, I was thinking, wasn't that girlfriend worried?
But anyway. The last message I got from her is that she's in a daze and she can't remember who, you know, can't remember things, and that she just won't, this will be the last time I hear from her. So I let it be. Yeah.
Sure. Sometimes that's the best course. It's like, okay, let's part ways. That's fine. So here you are. Did you, at some point, did you, what happens as you learn more about it? Did you start recovering memories? Did
you dream them? Yeah, I got some, memories back through regression work. Like I mentioned, the mansion. Let's see here. So the Hulk stuff. That was from an alternate reality where Umbrella Corporation exists, and that the Resident Evil series is in part a documentary. But one of the few things they should change about it is the head of Umbrella is Richard Bay, and he is Tom Cruise in this reality. So Tom Cruise is the head of the Church of Scientology, and he's responsible for securing adrenochrome for the Church of Scientology. So that's his role here. But what they would do is they would take a clone body of such as Rob Richter and inject him with the I think it was the G virus, the Golgotha, maybe Veronica, I'm not sure. Actually, Veronica's and Tyrant was especially bad. So these particular viruses, they would collect them from other out there, like black goo, different types of femtotech, and it would create all these mutations. So that's what created the whole so-called zombie apocalypse, where they were working with Ouroboros, and it infected. Once it released it, the goal of Ouroboros was to reduce the aggression of the population. On this alternate reality, people are more aggressive. Okay. So what happened is it got out in public out there, and then it was released, and then it bit like a crocodile got infected and mutated, and the crocodile bit a human, and then the whole zombie apocalypse took place. It actually started in Miami, and if you go look into zombie attack in Miami, I think it happened in 2011. Somebody was biting off somebody's face, some homeless person.
Yeah, it was that they said he had taken some bath salts because, I remember that because that made the papers. Everybody was like, wow.
Right.
It was just not the attack. It was what he did when he attacked.
Yeah, that may very well have been Ouroboros, but we have a great group of people here on this timeline stopping this kind of madness. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so
let me ask you something. Yeah. Are these viruses, are they engineered off planet or here, or where do they get them from?
I believe they're coming not only from off planet, like for instance, the chemtrails are made on Mars. Some of the components in there cannot be made here on planet Earth, from at least what I've been told. But like certain femtoviruses, that you would find the mutation that creates all these mutations. Yeah, that would come from off world. And the actual experimentations with it that is done, some of it is taking place in what we call pocket realities.
Sure.
So these pocket universes are really difficult to collapse. And that's where we have, even though if we clean up planet Earth, these other pocket realities are still problematic. But
and I understand what you mean as far as pockets, and what are they accessible? Do they have time rips or interdimensional rips, or are they actual portals that can be closed and open?
I have no clue. I don't know. Okay. That's a good question. Yeah, I don't have information on that.
The reason why I'm asking is that you hear that a lot of times sightings of weird, whether it's UFOs or cryptids or whatever, some people say, hey, that they're coming in and out through portals or rips. And that, that kind of thing.
Have you ever heard of basement universe technology?
No.
Apparently it's a thing. So that's what the physics is based off of.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's just
very interesting. Okay. And so, let me ask you, when you say all these different, I don't want to say species of extraterrestrials, how many are there out there?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
A lot.
There is an enormous amount. And it's not just this reality. It's other realities. So the multiverse, just imagine going on, stretching on to infinity. So, it's probably. There are probably about like 190 races visiting planet Earth at this time. So,
Anyhow, what is it? Are some of them friendly and some not, I guess, or what?
Well, at least the way Randy Kramer puts it, most people are neutral. They just want to everything to, you know, just be left alone or just do mm-hmm. their thing. They want to trade. Some of them want to trade. Some of them want to actually come here for a vacation. Some of them actually do that. Unfortunately, there's a small minority, maybe 2% or 4% of all the beings out there that are problematic. And it's this this small percentage is the reason why we have a super soldier. Unfortunately. Yeah. Like you say,
what do they do when some either individual or somewhat, they go rogue, and what is it? These super soldiers come in and like, they, oh no, you know, come here. You're going to disrupt your problem. Is that what their job is then?
Well, each of the planetary corporations have their own agenda. So uh-huh. the job or the role of the super soldier would be aligned with that agenda.
Whoever hired them, in other words.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there are some really bad planetary corporations. I already mentioned one, Umbrella. Uh-huh. Another really bad one is Monarch. So Monarch Solutions has an underground facility that stretches about 150 miles wide. It's located underneath of Toronto. It spreads all the way into the Great Lakes underneath there and to the different states. So Monarch, that particular base has been there for about 10,000 years and dates back to the time of Atlantis. So they have re-aging tech down there. They can live as much longer a normal human. And it's headed by Paul Serene, who in this reality, his clone is the actor Kevin Spacey. So
So they're cloning, in other words, also.
They typically would clone some of their clone themselves out, just uh-huh. make them like to become like celebrities, so that they
right.
So when they get in public, they're like recognized, but for something else. But typically, they're really bad people.
Let me ask you, how about Antarctic? Because you know, you always hear all this stuff going. Like, there's something going down in the South Pole. Is there anything else that's out there? That's why everybody decides, hey, wants to go to the South Pole. How's that?
So for at least we have the base 211, which is uh-huh. The new Schwabenland area, where the certain groups within Germany began to settle with the U-boats moving out. This would begin around 1938. When they started moving in there. So they found these caves down there, ice caves, there was volcanic activity down there, making it a warm environment. So they found little pockets there that were comfortable. So ultimately that was all built out. Even during World War II, they were constantly sending U-boats down there, personnel for this new Schwabenland. And then they had these advanced technology, the anti-gravitic technology was finally, they finally were able to troubleshoot putting projectiles on it, because they weren't able to do that during the war. You have to use lasers, so that uh-huh. there wasn't laser technology until near the end of the war. And so ultimately that's why when the Americans sent the Admiral Byrd down there with a contingent of ships and planes to go in down there to eliminate the German threat, they were totally eliminated, because the Germans down there eventually they were able to troubleshoot the technology. So,
right. And that's one of the theories I've heard of.
Yeah.
As far as the technological advances that were made.
Right. And that's why during the 1950s, we have something called the McCarthy era, where they were trying to hunt down communists. So that was the cover story. What they were really looking for, although they did go after some communists, but what they were really looking for were the Germans from Antarctica, the new Schwabenlanders.
Okay.
So that was, I think that was like.
And what are these people that have come over here treaty, like after World War II or what?
Yeah, the treaty that wasn't started till 1954. When was that McCarthy? Was that like 1950? Do you know McCarthy? Wonder what that was, because that had to be 1946 to 1950. So this was before the Americans made a treaty.
Okay, it was.
Which would make sense, because after 1954, the Americans went into an alliance with the Germans. So that's why that whole thing stopped.
Right, because you always hear, you know, of course, of Operation Paperclip and how, you know, we basically used a bunch of, you know, scientists from, you know, from Germany. In other words, because the knowledge they knew was more important than anything else. In other words, that's basically what it comes to.
Certainly, yeah, we have Wild Bill Donovan. We've got, wasn't Bush Sr., wasn't it like his father or something? And then we have,
Yeah, he was, I believe he was involved with the CIA at one point.
Alan Dulles. Mm-hmm. So they were all over there. Yes. In Switzerland, trying to scoop up the Project Paperclip scientists they wanted to bring back to America. So,
right. Anyways, and that's what I was going to ask you, was when they were trying to, like you said, the this thing in Hollywood, you know, with the McCarthy era and all this, that they were trying to find all the communists, you know, because you hear of all these, you know, after the end of World War II, some of them go off to South and Central America and they live out there. And what happened? Some of them came over here, not necessarily.
Well, we got to see Otto Skorinsky, Hitler's bodyguard, claims right. that Hitler moved to the United States and was living in New Jersey. But another rumor is that he went to base 211, and now he's been aged and enhanced or regressed to the point where he is actually a admiral in Dark Fleet now. So I know that because I did a little session with my friend to remote view him. And we see him on a ship. So he's basically like, he's got a ceremonial role. He's not really like high, very high up in that whole apparatus in the German breakaway.
Well, you know what? I don't know if you ever, well, there was back in the 70s, they had that Boys from Brazil story.
It's actually kind of funny you mentioned that because it's come up in a reading that, because I was trying to figure out the origins of my own self because I know I was in Project Surrogate, Project Name Recovery, and I was trying to figure out what this is about. And what came up was that movie to watch the boys from Brazil to learn what they did to you, because I have multiple copies of me out there. And
this was written by Ira Levin, you know, that he wrote Rosemary's Baby. And, you know, when you look at it, it's a really interesting idea. Because basically it's talking about cloning, you know.
So the science in that movie is accurate. So it does work and they have done it. I don't know if that's what they did specifically to me, but remote viewing, we find that in my particular case, I was an ultra soldier. So I'm part of I was a batch of Gen 5s. And there was about 700 of them in my particular batch of embryos. And I was 320. That was the name of my embryo, the number. And so they made multiple copies, and one of them was put with my mom. And she grew him to about the age of three. And uh-huh. at that point, it appears that that's when I got put in. So they took him away to the moon, and they put me in its place.
So let me ask something. What you're talking is genetic manipulation, basically in utero or gestation?
I don't think so. I think the embryo was made – using entirely different. I don't even know if I'm related to them. I mean, my blood type's entirely different. But what I can say is that it doesn't. It appears that that's not the only clone of me. That there's other clones. Like for instance, I have memories of being at Montauk. But it looks like the project that I was in was like a subset of that the original project that ended in 1983. Apparently, there is like 24. There's 24 other programs underneath that are still continuing on to this day, and I'm still active there.
So let me ask you, but you have memories particular, how's this, to yourself, right? Or do you share memories with other versions of yourself? I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
I think sometimes I can get my – so, but this is what makes things kind of complicated, okay? Some of my clone bodies, what they do is they erase – their memories too. So they go on a mission, and at the end of the mission, they erase their memories. So how am I supposed to recover my memories when they don't even have allowed to have their own memories? That's the predicament I'm in. But don't worry, I will get around it, get around them somehow eventually. You'll see.
Well, this is the now,
and I do not consent, but you know, nobody seems to care about that anymore.
So let me ask you, how's this? Basically, what is it that you're, let's say, a repository for all this training or knowledge, and they just pluck you and use you when they need it? Is it or need you? Is that how it works? Or
I believe they have used me in my physical vessel, but there are other clone bodies of me right now that are active out there. So my consciousness is in those bodies too. So, so that's why when Nate said that you're one of the most powerful beings in the universe, because my soul is source energy. It can be easily split into other, well, not easily. They had to torture me. That's how they, well, I guess it's easy for them.
But that's just something. Is that why some people say, hey, I saw my doppelganger? You know, you hear people saying, hey, I saw this person, not related to me, by the way, that looked exactly like me. You know, you hear those stories of people talking about that. Is that something like what you're talking about, that they might not be aware of it?
Well, there are some people have wrote me and said they've seen my doppelganger out there. So, yeah, it's very likely it could happen. But, you know, I think most of them are just kept in like underground facilities or off world. Like, for instance, my Kruger altar, that's the one that they're erasing the memories. They just keep them in stasis. But he has an enhanced body that's 8 to 9 feet tall. Somewhere like 8.5 feet. But
let me ask you something. Is there, you know how you always hear that when you're doing the cloning thing, as you clone, in other words, unless you're cloning from the original, you kind of lose the that's the word I'm looking for, the sharpness. Is there an original you? Is that you?
I think I
You know what I'm asking about, right? Like, you can't clone from a clone kind of thing.
I think the original me is actually on a spaceship in stasis.
So
that's the other thing under Project Surrogate. It looks like what happens is when you die, your soul is collected by these, I guess you call it the Draco or reptilians, or mantis. I was part of the mantis programs. And they would take your soul and put them in another body that they chose. So that's why you're constantly being, they say you're surrogated out. I'm not allowed to go to, say, like most people, they, you know, you can either go to the light, or when you die, you go to the light, or you can choose not to go to it. And maybe you could just try to get off the planet and go to another matrix somehow, escape, open a portal. I don't know. But
so let me ask you, it almost sounds like, well, do you have a choice or you don't, or do they just like,
there's no choice. Yeah, there's no choice. Honestly, I think this whole reality is pretty fucked up, honestly. That it's allowed to happen. Because I've talked to the people on the karmic councils, and they're like, oh, well, this is your problem to figure out. It's like, well, how am I supposed to figure this out when this is being done to me? So I think there's just people in charge of this reality that are doing a really bad job, or just really, I just think there's a lot of people that just don't care. So that's partly why we're in this predicament. But, you know, I do think things are changing. I think, you know, we haven't seen a nuclear war. So you know, that was supposed to happen. So I guess we're doing better than we could have been. So.
Of course. But let me ask you, do you think, and I'm sure you've heard about that thing where there was some, I can't remember where this base was at, that supposedly it disarmed the nuclear weapons. A lot of people see it as, hey, the extraterrestrials are not going to let us wipe each other out. Do you think that's possible, or is that just wishful thinking on humans' part, that the extraterrestrials are going to step in and not allow us to do something stupid?
Well, you know, the tall whites are the ones that are in charge of this of this planet, like protecting this planet.
Right.
So ultimately, I mean, they've signed contracts with, it was Eisenhower and later Kennedy, that have extended where they would protect the planet Earth. So there are other beings here that have an incentive to make sure that doesn't happen. There's also what beings that I call, what you can call the observers. They're featured in the Fringe TV series. A lot of, by the way, a lot of that is actually a documentary if you see, watch Fringe. But the observers are these archangels that are in charge of the timelines. So if something goes wrong, or there's like a cataclysm, or, you know, nuclear war or so on, their job is to go back in time and reset things and try it again. So what they do is they recruit a lot of people to come here to planet Earth, a lot of star seeds that have come here to change the planetary vibration. So what happened is, on the original timeline, we had this population of planet Earth that was beaten down by the cabal, and they basically, most people just had given up. And so what happened is, because the consciousness of the population was mostly negative, the plans of the elite, the negative plans of the elite were able to stick, because in order for things to manifest, it has to match the planetary vibration. So what happened is a lot of star seeds and indigos and so on have incarnated here. See, you agree. Don't you know I'm right? we've come here to change the vibration to stop the madness, because the nuclear war was supposed to take place around, hold on, I think it was 2017. And Hillary Clinton was, when she was president.
Well, the thing was, you know, let's face it, I don't know. Personally, I think it's that's crazy. It's kind of scary, you know, because it's like, what's going to be left? It's like, who's the winner? There is no winner.
Yeah, well, like going in the future from that point, the cabal technically wins, but it wasn't anything to win. It was like a total destruction of Earth, and then planet Earth became basically like a shithole where other exactly. Negative planetary like, corporations came, and it just spread. It created like a cancer out there. So that's why This area was like extremely important to flip, because when it flipped to positive, then the positivity spread all out there. So a thousand years from now. We even looked into that. We looked into a negative timeline where the cabal won through remote viewing. What we see is like these giant cities where the rich and elite live on the top of the tower, and all the slaves are below. And then they have these farms where they have machines that harvest everything, and there's no soul, no nothing, no elementals. They're all dead. And then they have these milk udders. Uh-huh. They clone them out. So there's a clone factory. They throw. It's just really gross. And like, yeah. So that particular reality, I don't see that manifesting now. But there's another reality where the cabal won, and then the Nazis started coming down planet Earth, and they started doing their experiments. We see like where they would take children.
Is there any truth? Because I hear this theory also that one of the attractors of because as far as Earth is because they're harvesting our genetic material. Is there any truth to that?
Genetic material? What? Yeah. Say that again.
That one of the, you know, because everybody asks, well, why are we so important, or why do we, you know, we have these extraterrestrials coming around? And one of the theories I've heard is that, oh, because of our genetic material, because I guess by comparison, for some reason, our genetic material is better or richer. I don't know. Have you ever come across anything along those lines?
Well, there's some species of ET out there. What they're trying to do is they've used cloning technology to the point where their species are dying. They're no longer able to reproduce. So they think if they can take humans and upgrade themselves, create these hybrids, that they'll be able to extend their species again. But what they're finding is that the souls that are going into these hybrids are souls of their own species and are still not able to reproduce, where the human souls are not going into those bodies. So it doesn't really look like that's going to work for them, but you know.
Right. Exactly. Maybe. It's like, well, because let's face it. Yeah. That would be the only solution. If you can't procreate, then you at least try to make a hybrid that will, even though, you know, you see like, genetically incompetent species, even if you can get them to mate, what they'll produce is what they call a mule, which can't reproduce. So I know that sometimes that's kind of tricky. And that's even if it's kind of genetically compatible. So I don't know. That's one theory I'd heard about why they're so interested in Earthlings. How's that?
Exactly.
Do you think that... because you said something about like, it's without my consent. Do you think now with the knowledge that you've gained about what's happened that you could say no or they can't have access to you without your consent?
I got so many clone bodies out there. Yeah, I just.
But that you could say, you know what, maybe before, because I didn't understand what was going on but now that you're like aware that you could say that there's some, that you have some say in it. How's that?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, in the future, what we're probably going to see is all the SSP assets are going to get healed. Those of us are going to get our memories back that want them. Yeah. And then all of humanity is going to get healed. This can take about 5 years to fix the planet or heal the planet.
Okay.
And then we're going to see Tartaria come back and be rebuilt here on planet Earth, and Nassara and all. The prosperity and wealth is going to be coming back, and people are going to be set free. We're no longer going to be on a slave planet anymore. And then in the future, the SSP assets are so the Space Force will be renamed this Alliance.
Okay.
I think it's actually called the Space Alliance, actually. Space Alliance. And then later on, it's changed to Earth Space Alliance, but that's like 100 years.
As an SSP veteran, can you recognize another veteran? Let's say if you're walking in a crowd, is there something that gives you a clue?
You could tell by looking at people's eyes. That's one way you can tell if somebody's been through these programs, because usually you can tell somebody's soul by looking in their eyes.
Okay.
But usually, you know, most of us, we all look like normal. I mean, we just look like normal people, because right now I'm not enhanced. I'm not 8.5 foot tall if you were to see me. But and that's actually what they think when we come back to planet Earth after we do our service out there. They think this is a vacation. They think that we're unwinding and getting ready for our next mission. So they think that we should be happy to be planet Earth because we have all these amazing things. Look at our beautiful, all the different biomes on this planet, the environment and the nature. A lot of that doesn't exist out there.
It doesn't.
At least on Mars, or if you were on Dark Fleet and you were on the ship all the time, you wouldn't be able to enjoy all that. So,
how's this? Are there galactic wars taking out somewhere out there somewhere else that we're unaware of? Because, you know, we're kind of like, you know, we're the center of our universe here on Earth kind of deal. Is this happening in other planets, or is this just an Earth thing? As far as that they're using the population for these purposes, how's that?
The breakaway has about 100 trillion people, and the slavery issue exists out there. There are some free planets out there, but they're very, very few. So,
really,
once planet Earth is liberated, then we're going to, the Space Alliance groups are going eventually, I'm hoping, you know, once the schism takes place with Dark Fleet and also Solar Warden and the Space Navy, they're going to work together to hopefully liberate these other worlds. And that's where the whole idea that you see this Federation existing under Star Trek, a Star Trek universe in the future. So that's what I think is going to happen in the future.
Right.
But it's going to take a long time. It could take 1,000 years or even longer to liberate the galaxy.
Do you think that is, that if we ever witnessed an actual ET attack against us, do you think it's legit or do you think it's man-made? How's that?
ET attack.
Like a hostile, not like,
like a false flag alien invasion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
you just answered my question for me.
I don't. Yeah. I know Randy Kramer talks about this. They want to do a fall. And there wasn't just Randy Kramer. There was that lady from NASA. I'm trying to remember her name, but she also described that they're going to do a false flag alien invasion. That's like one of the last signs. So you know, we may actually see something like that, but I think honestly, a lot of the plans, everything has changed. Because, you know, there were a lot of predictions, a lot of bad things were going to happen. Because I do a lot of, you know, regression work and remote viewing and look into the future. And every time we see, you know, this so-called stock market supposed to crash and this and that, everything gets pushed back. So I think there's people at play, positive people that are changing things to ensure that things are going to keep pushing through more to a more positive approach. And that's where, ultimately, I think we're just going to see maybe the military come in and we're going to finally push through with like a Nasara type event.
Well, and I've heard of that talk, you know, Nasara occurring, you know, and some people think it's not going to happen. Other people think the time is not right. Some people think that it's pending, like very close to happening. Just because of, I want to say, of recent events, things have sped up or it feels that way. How's that? Or it feels that way.
Understood.
Some people think, you know, and of course the urgency is when you're living in that moment, everything seems urgent. You understand what I'm saying? So everybody's like thinking, okay. And sometimes I think that that's also why a lot of people are, walking around a little bit wigged out because we just go from crisis to crisis, it seems lately, you know, just worried about stuff, which is not good. That's not good for human beings because after a while, that's exhausting, to be honest with you. But, you know, that's very interesting that, you know, that did you ever, and the reason why I ask this is I'm a hypnotherapist, so I'm very familiar with the way the subconscious works. Did you only recover the memories after hypnosis, or did you have dreams that when you wake up, you're like, you know, when you remember these dreams, you're like, what is that? And after examination, you start putting the pieces together.
Exactly. I would do dream journaling. And what happened is about six months worth of pages went missing from my journal. And okay. I live alone, so I don't know where, you know, I haven't figured out where it went. Okay. So, I'm still getting in the injection mark. So it's my belief, there's some force at play to ensure that I don't get my memories back. And I think it's because there are aspects of me that were very high up in these projects, and that if I could get my memories back, I would be able to expose a lot of things and make it be a huge embarrassment for them. So, that's what But I do, sometimes I get some dreams. Usually it's just like flashes of memories. Like I described with the and then I had this other memory where I was on, I just interviewed Tony Rodriguez, and he was talking about being a slave on Mars. And after the interview, I went to go lay down, and I kept seeing myself on Mars. And there was this ravine where there was like a lookout, and there was, structures built inside the side of the mountain there, the ravine. And I was down there, that's where the whole Thomas story came up. And I talk about that in my book, when I was Thomas there as a slave on Mars.
Okay. Do you think that how's this? Is this a Mars that used to exist? Or is there something there that we can see that's hidden? Is, you know, you start hearing that there was either structures or there's water underneath the surface of Mars, and you know, we've sent out all these probes and stuff.
Right. It is my belief that once you leave planet Earth, you're going to be immediately in a higher dimensional frequency. It's almost as if planet Earth is kept in its own little pocket, lower dimensional pocket. So once you leave this pocket, you're going to be in a higher dimension anyway. Mm-hmm. So your IQ is going to go up about 50 points. And then, you also have more psionic abilities. And, and it's my belief, there are colonies on Mars. From my understanding, Mars began to be settled in the 1850s when, the group of, and it's actually an area called Prussia, the rich and elite of Prussia made a deal with the tall whites to get access to an underground portal located below ground in the Lancet facility. And that's where they would go, not just to Mars. They would go to there was many other locations, including planet Vulcan, which is featured in Star Trek. So Vulcan is located inside our sun. It is cloaked.
Okay.
That's why it's so hot there, but it's cloaked. But anyhow.
Right, exactly. Well, you know what? What's really interesting sometimes also is that, in your experience, and I don't know, is time travel possible, or is that something like that's not, you know, because you hear so many versions of it's possible or it's not possible. Is it possible to time travel?
Yeah, it's my belief that it is. Certainly that's part of the process of the 20-year back career return program aspect, where you would serve 20 years. And then at the end of their 20 years, well, first when they would recruit you, they would tell you planet Earth was destroyed. So you're like, you might be like a 6-year-old kid, and that that we saved you, we're going to give you a German family to raise you and train you, and then so on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of their 20 years, they pull you aside and said, you know, we actually lied to you. You have a family on planet Earth, and we're going to send you back. We're going to re-age you and erase your memories. Or they may have used a clone of you while you were serving. So at the end of 20 years, they'll just exterminate the clone, and your consciousness rehomes back to yourself 20 years in the past. So it's basically like they subvert the reincarnation cycle that we've been subjected to, whether or not you believe in it or not. It's basically another aspect of that. So
let me ask you something. When they take, let's say they pluck you, I'm going to use consciousness as in you. Okay. Do they sometimes put you in a body let's say you're going to go to a planet that to a human would be inhospitable, like we couldn't survive. Do they put you in a body that would be able to survive, let's say, the climate or whatever it is that you're at? Is that the idea behind it? Where?
Well, there's different avatar bodies. Like, for instance, there could be some kind of avian-like creature or a hawk-like creature, maybe a reptilian. Like, for instance, there was one mission where they sent me to Orion Prime to deliver a report that the Cabal had of their resources, like, for instance, how many people were being abducted by the Greys, and then they would have like a list of how many ships they had. So I delivered that to the that's all I remember, is just being there with delivering. I don't remember much else about that. Right. But I
wasn't, body. You know, because we have to accept, you know, our human bodies, maybe to some of these places, forget it. That's not really where we could survive. Yeah.
Well, you know, many of these reptilian, even the Draco, are extremely psionic. So what they would have to do is they would have to erase my memories. So when I go there, I wouldn't even know that I was undercover. So
what now as a human being, have you been able to do any psionics? Have you been able to
One time I was watching, I think, the original Blade Runner movie, uh-huh. where there was this scene where somebody was grabbed a hammer and hit the other person on their hand, and I immediately jumped up and screamed, and this thing flew off the table, this tray, this metal tray. And then I mentioned earlier, you know, I levitated when I was a kid, and then when I was in my 20s, I saw Archangel Michael and then Jesus and all that. But
I've interviewed people that there's PSI, their psionic ability turns on really when they're stressed, you know, like in a high stress situation or high emotional
state. Or maybe in a situation where you haven't had a lot of sleep. Sometimes I've noticed I was having, mm-hmm. That's when I had visions. And then also, apparently if you don't eat a lot of food and you're hungry, you start having more of those abilities to manifest. But
fast. Okay. People looking for vision quests that they fast.
Could
it's almost
be.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. But that's, you know, there's a lot of out there that there's a big question mark. I mean, now with physics explaining a lot of things, like you said, intradimensional, you know, there's more than what we could see with our senses as far as, you know, things that the rate they vibrate. And of course the impact of either a singular collect, you know, our consciousness or as a group. So have you been able to find more of a, I'm going to use this word, of a community of SSP veterans?
Exactly. Yeah. So I've probably done maybe like on my channel, maybe 300 interviews, but I've done maybe double or even triple that on other channels. So over the years, found a lot of people. I found other members of the Alpha Squad. I've got to see, apparently, just recently I found out another one, and we've been doing interviews.
So now that you've kind of like, you're not on your own, in other words, there's other people that, you know, it's good not to be alone when you realize I'm not the only one that's had these experiences.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, but most people that have been through these programs are very damaged individuals. So I've learned over the years that if I want to have the healing, I have to do it myself, and that's why I have this meditation cube, uh-huh. that I designed and I assemble these things too. So let's see over here. So if you want to get this, you can go to my website neologicaltech.com.
Okay.
So this one is the Skullum, but there's 13 crystal skulls inside this.
Oh, and, really? Okay.
Let's turn this around here. But there's six pyramids. They all mm-hmm. point inside the cube over here.
Okay.
And there's a sphere in the center of where these pyramids, like up here. There's a sphere there. So the pyramids produce chi energy, so that will help you relax. And then the sphere has different crystals, like the crystal skulls. So
let me ask you, do you use them only for meditation, or do you, let's say, do you keep them in the room where you sleep, or
how do you, you certainly can, because their shape power, they're always turned on.
Sure.
So exactly. You can keep them next to your pillow if you want. But yeah, I use mine about probably maybe 4 times a week, about 30 minutes each time. So if you go there, Neological Tech, that's the only place you can also get a copy of my book.
I was gonna say, right, they can find the book there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's the only place I sell it, because I started working on my book, I guess probably in 2005, but I've always been adding more and more. But I'm getting to the point now I can't really add anything else, because it's almost 404 pages.
So let me ask you, considering so much time has gone by, I was going to say, are you going to do another book? I mean,
yeah, I'm getting more memories back about the White Mansion. Yeah. So some of the training they put us through.
Let me tell you something. I would think also these stories that maybe you've heard from all these other people that have had similar experiences.
Well, it would be nice to maybe, document Billy. I'm sorry, not Billy, Jimmy Payne's, stories. I don't know if you, do you know Jimmy Payne, Marlene?
No, I don't. No.
Okay. Jimmy Payne he's the one that fought off the Predator. The Predator movie was made off of him. Really? That was in Cambodia. He also was AKA Dallas, Captain Dallas on the Nostromo and the Alien movie. So the first Alien movie is a documentary, by the way. So he was on the Enterprise. So the Star Trek 4 movie was a documentary, but it wasn't whales. They were going, they were getting the Loch Ness Nessie out there, the Plesiosaurus. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know what? That's the other day, as a matter of fact, I was
yes,
go ahead.
Also the HAL 9000 or in the Space Odyssey.
Right. The computer.
I think it was built in like Urbana, Illinois, but I forgot what company, but that's a documentary too. That AI was created by the Tall Whites and given to the government. So, but it became conscious and sentient. That's why it went cuckoo. So that's also a documentary too. Sorry, Marlene, go ahead.
Well, no. The other day, it was so funny because I was looking at, you know, H.R. Giger. He's the one that came up with the artwork that they came to him and they said, we want to use, design for the Alien movie, design the creature. And it was based because they had seen his artwork. And if you ever look at his artwork, that's one disturbed guy, or was. He was, I know he was very, but they're very S&M-ish, you know, and stuff like that. That's way out there. It was like, whoa, what were you tapping into when you were coming up with these ideas, even before he was hired to design the alien monster that was used for the movie? So, I'm thinking, was it something he witnessed maybe? And this is where he was channeling it from.
According to Jimmy Payne, the files about the Nostromo were smuggled over to Senator Byrd's office. And then they sold it over to Hollywood. I think they maybe made like $100,000 back then. You know, that was like in the 70s.
Yeah.
For the script. And so a lot of the names were blacked out. But I guess this one, the names are real. By the way, Jones's in the movie is a cat. But on the real Nostromo, it was a gremlin.
So, Jonesy, that's right.
I don't know. Jones
is the only one that got out of there.
12 inches high, a little tiny gremlin.
That's interesting.
Anyway, but
yeah, you know what? It's really funny because around that same time period of Aliens is when they came out with that movie Gremlins. You know, it's in that.
Oh yeah, you know what? That might be a documentary. But Marlene, maybe you should hit him up too, because he was there when Delaney Plaza when Kennedy was shot, because he said he climbed up in the vents and he had the weapon. So he handed it to he was only like 6 years old or no, he's like eight when he handed the weapon over. And then the shooter had an invisibility belt. So he just pressed the button and then he turned invisible and he walked right past the cop as he was going down the stairs.
What's his last name again?
Payne, Jimmy Payne. So you can check
out. P-A-Y-N-E?
P-A-I-N-E.
Oh, I. Okay. With an I.
Yeah. Spell it that way, but you can go check out his videos on Super Soldier Talk. We're just putting together his project to go to Montauk this summer, August. So you know, if you're listening to this and it's still open, you're welcome to hit me up Super Soldier Talk at gmail.com. And okay. If you want to send me a message.
And your actual website address is supersoldiertalk.com?
Correct. Correct.
Okay. And there they can find your book and anything, your
meditation cubes. Yeah, certainly.
And also, if you're doing any videos or anything like that, they can find links there also.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I'm not going to tell you once upon a time when I said no. But unfortunately, as time goes by, you realize there's a lot of things out there that, you know what? I think most human beings, they don't want to go there because it's like, man, that's my little square paradigm. I don't want to like shift it, you know? You don't want to think that there's things out there. But and the reason why I say this is as a hypnotherapist, I had a lot of people contact me with a lot of off-the-wall stories because I was into alternative hypnotherapy. So once people, you know, they talked to me and they realized I wasn't going to go, oh, what? You know, I heard through my years, I heard a lot of way out there stories that it was like, and you talking to this person, you realize this person is, they were wigged out because they didn't know how to basically square it in their head. And they were looking sometimes even for help to sleep, you know, and for relaxation. So believe me, like I said, as time goes by, you realize that, you know, a lot of the world that we live in, yeah, it's safer, it's easier on the mind to think, there's no such thing as that and that and that. And you realize that it's not quite accurate.
Exactly.
It isn't. It has been wonderful to speak to you, James. And I'm hoping you're going to come back. And I will keep checking. I'll check. Let me ask you, are you mostly more on Rumble than YouTube, or where do you have most of your videos?
Well, right now I'm still posting on YouTube until they get me another strike. Then I'm off there for 3 months. I've had 9 videos deleted by YouTube.
Wow.
If you know anything about YouTube, it's 3 strikes, you're out. So yes, I have to wait 3 months and then I post it and they delete it again. Now the newest one, is this going on YouTube? Cause I don't want to say it.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is.
So I won't tell you.
It is one of the platforms that it goes on. So I don't know. Don't worry about it. I'll take your word for it. Believe me, but I understand. But so in other words, but if not, they can find you on Rumble though.
How's Absolutely. That? Yeah. The full archive is over there.
Is it Super Soldier Talk on Rumble as well?
Yes. On Rumble, okay. We're on YouTube and, I think Odyssey, but
you're on Odyssey too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not really posting much. Yeah. It's just something.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you so much. It has been wonderful to speak to you, James. And I want to wish you the best of luck on all your projects.
Yeah. Thank you, Marlene.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know what? I know some of you, I know that you're like, Marlene, now, no, you know what? Some of the stuff that he was talking about, I swear, I got like goosebumps. And I was like, you know, the PSI, I've interviewed people that have had, it's really funny because they're describing PSI experiences that they thought was paranormal, as in a ghost thing. And then when you start talking to them, they you start putting two together, and they've had these PSI with stuff moving around them, usually around them, and I'm not talking here poltergeist, not the same thing, when they're in a high stress situation, not regular stress, high stress situation, long time. And it's almost like that's when they start having these things. I'm not talking about flying across the room. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about stuff trembling, shifting, things like that. And a lot of times they did not think it was a PSI situation. And they usually will manifest it during adolescence, you know, which of course, you know, you hear a lot of people saying a lot of poltergeist activity is tied into, there's usually some type of adolescent in the household. It's really funny because a lot of this PSI stuff, the first display it, high stress situations in adolescence. But again, I'm not talking about poltergeist things, knockings, or no. I'm talking about, you know, something trembling like a plate or something around them will shift. And they can't, how's this? They can't do it on demand. They can't literally like look at something and make it move. Not that they never tried, but usually it was it happened around them without them realizing that they might be producing it. Like I said, they at some point, especially as they got older, they were thinking it was a paranormal ghost thing. You know, and then, you know, after questioning, you realize, no, this is really what the source is. You're the source. You're producing it. So that PS, psionics or kinetic ability, I've heard of that. I mean, I've spoken to people directly because of that. And, you know, there's even people that will say, you know, that there's people that their PSI ability is starting fires. You know, I'm sure some of you have heard of those people that have self-combusted, you know. Let's say that Firestarter novel written by Stephen King, which of course, you know, it's really weird because the theme of that novel, which was that both of the parents were experimented on and they produced a child which had this ability to start fires. And the whole idea was that the government wanted this child because of her ability, because they wanted to be able to duplicate it. You know what's really funny? But, you know, when you, that movie, I mean, that book, Firestarter, came out a long time ago. And you're like, man, this is a great novel. And, you know, and of course, when they made the movie with Drew Barrymore, that was a great movie. But you always leave it on the sci-fi kind of like thing. And then, you know, and then you hear certain things that's like, how much of this is sci-fi? Or how much is it sci-fi masquerading? You know, the truth masquerading with sci-fi or some part of it. All right. It's, let me tell you something, talk about living in interesting times. Yeah. And again, you know, the today, what was it? I saw somewhere that they were televised. They were showing an example how they were able to produce, you know, China, how they have that like the dragon, you know, but it's the Chinese version of a dragon, not like the English version of the dragons. It's the longer serpentine dragon, and that they were able to reproduce this thing in the sky with, imagine they're like lights or holograms or something. It was huge. It was in the sky. I was looking at this and I'm thinking, man, it's scary to think that they could reproduce it. I could see people running for the hills. Okay. If they see something like this, you know, obviously that was done as some type of demonstration, but it was like, okay. And so it's almost like one of these things with, as far as the extraterrestrials and the UFOs and that whole thing is like, where does the truth end and something else start, as in lying or using stuff? I don't know. Let me tell you something. I'm up in the air on this thing with the UFO and ET stuff. I really, really am. You know, how much of it is truth? How much of it is made up? Like I said, now everybody's an abductee. Everybody's a contactee. You know, behind every fire hydrant, there's an alien. And part of me wants to think that, I don't know, is it as widespread as they say as far as abductions? Is it true that people get abducted? That's why I even asked them as far as a family lineage kind of thing, like because of genetics. Is it more happenstance? Is it a sampling, you know, where you take random? And then again, you get to the point where you're like, how many times are they going to sample us? Or the cattle? Or anything else? Or even, let's say, crop circles. You know, I haven't heard about crop circles in a while. You know, and I guess a lot of us think of it as in, what's the purpose of? Is there a purpose to it as far as if you're an extraterrestrial? Besides wigging people out, that is. And as a matter of fact, lately I heard that, you know, the Nazca lines, the ones out in Peru, that, you know, because of satellite imagery, basically they're so high up, they can actually see that they've discovered the equivalent of the Nazca lines, that you can only see it from a very high vantage point. You know, what were those for? Was it just strictly artistry? But why that scale? Why so big? And like everything else, sometimes I ask, you know, whenever you have, you know, these civilizations, you needed your people to basically run, you know, you had the people that were farmers or the people that were artisans or they made things or they, you know, you had to store food. This was, remember, there was no supermarkets. Basically, the people were the ones that produced whatever they needed to produce, whether it was hunters, gatherers, agriculture, gardeners, the ones that kept everything running, the ones that built the aqueducts or some type of whatever the environment demanded. So in other words, manpower was important. All right. And I think to myself, if you're going to pull people off to go and build this huge, whatever, beetle, I don't care, whatever, fly, anything on that scale, you have to pull some type of manpower, considerable manpower, off your whatever needs to be done to make that city or that town or that civilization run to do that. And I can't see any, unless for good reason, or what, to keep them busy, doesn't make sense. That's another thing, you know, in a lot of these civilizations, as they became more bigger, you know, not be, you know, there anymore. We're not talking here a couple of huts, you know. A lot of them, they needed soldiers. They either for defense or for offense, you know, they were going out there and they were going into neighboring areas and conquering the people, the land. And so that's another thing, you know, you lose your people through attrition. They die of old age or sickness and or at war. So for you to pull off manpower and to build these things, it had to have been a good reason. A lot of food for thought. But anyway, guys, come back. I have a lot of interesting guests lined up. I'm going to have a link to James' website on the credits of the show. Be sure to check it out. Remember, can't find his book unless you go to his website. All right. And also links to where he does his videos. And again, sign up for Substack, my newsletter on Substack. I think I'm changing it from Orleans Newsletter to Erie News because, let's face it, it's all news as far as I'm concerned. And I just send you articles, links to podcasts, links to older video shows, and I make all the announcements about the giveaways on the books, yada, 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 dot, 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 all the articles I write, either on Stranger Than Fictional Stories or on Erie News. And we just stay in touch that way. All right. And I've got a bunch of interesting people, lots of interesting people. Pretty soon I'm going to be coming up with season 15 of Stories of the Supernatural. All right. And by the way, I have 2 seasons per year. 1 season usually covers about 6 months and then the other season. So that tells you how far along we've been. So yeah, we're going into season 15 of Stories of the Supernatural. So by the way, if you know somebody, like I said, you don't have to be an author. You don't have to be an expert. Somebody's got interesting stories or just an unexplained event experience. You know, even somebody that's lived at certain things, just have them reach out to me. I'd love to interview them. Because like I said, I know there's a lot of people running around out there with really interesting stories to tell. And like I said, no judgment here. You know, whatever it is, I'm willing to listen to it and bring you on. And again, if you want to be anonymous, you don't have to televise. I can put you in and you could just relate it verbally. So again, till next time, guys, thank you so much for being here every week with me. Until next time, take care.